get excited, and I don't want to put y'all to sleep. But nevertheless, I want to take a moment, and I have to acknowledge the impact that COVID has had on our lives, on our families. You know, I'm a native of Norfolk, Virginia, and I have folks also in Carolina. And today in North Carolina, we had to bury my Aunt Rosa Horton. And she survived cancer. Unfortunately, she did not survive COVID. And we could, obviously, because of COVID conditions, only the immediate family could attend the funeral. And so I say this to say that, you know, I know people have all kinds of different personal, philosophical, religious, whatever reasons for not getting vaccinated. And I understand all that. However, this is not about you. It's about your community. It's about public health. And I'm asking, urging you, if you haven't, please get vaccinated. See, my aunt was vaccinated, but her grandson was not. Okay? And because she had suffered from cancer, her immune system wasn't able to protect her from COVID. All right? And I want to start this whole thing. Ujima is so important, cooperative economics. I want to take you back just a little bit, okay? I'm trying to go fast because I know folks don't have great attention spans. But if you could think about going back to the year 1983, I was a young lad still in my 20s. And actually, the day after Thanksgiving, I hit the big 6'6", so, you know. If I took my mask off, it wouldn't look like it. That's a different story. But the point is, I'm a graduate student at Penn State. I'm going to a conference at that time with one of my young professors. And we sit in the car. And we're talking, and all of a sudden, the topic comes to black folks in America. Ain't going on about the problems, issues, and blah, blah, and blah. And I just said something that made me realize it was time for me to leave Penn State. Because I said, out of the blue, I said to him, I think the problem with black folks is not that we're so different from white people. I think the problem is we're too similar to white people.
Okay.
That knocked this man off his seat. So he had to pull the car over and ask me for an explanation. He wanted me to justify that. And I told him, I said, the reason is this. Black people believe in the same myth, the same lie of rugged individualism that white people believe in. And in America, America, 3 Ks, nobody makes it by themselves. Everybody makes it. But in the case of whites, they can talk that talk because they've got a system of racism that basically increases the odds that they're gonna make it. And whenever that system, based upon racism, white privilege, and white supremacy starts breaking down, meaning black folks start trying to get ahead, that's when all of a sudden they collectively try to hold us down. We're seeing that today when we have some political success. What happens throughout the country, they're trying to change the voting laws. They're trying to do a lot of gerrymandering, trying to keep us from being able to vote. So, and she, here's a little irony I want to tell you. That's right. And the irony is that white people talk individualism, but they practice collectivism. Black people talk collectivism, but we practice individualism. It's time for us to understand that, and based upon our own history, nobody in this country makes it on their own. Everybody had to have some help.
Right.
Everybody.
Right.
And once we understand that, we can put that individualism to the side. You know, let me talk about the essence of cooperative economics. just for a moment. And I want to tell you a story, brief story, about a young man by the name of John Johnson, okay? He was born in Arkansas. He was raised in Chicago. And he was the man who started Johnson Publications, Ebony and Jet.
Right.
Some of y'all remember those.
Right, right.
Well, here's something. When he went to the bank to get a loan to start his business, the banker laughed at him. He said, if you wanted $500 to buy you a Cadillac, I'd give it to you.
What?
But I can't give you $500 to start a business.
Wow.
So after he finished laughing, John Johnson, who also coincidentally has to be one of my fraternity brothers, he coolly calmly said, okay, can you tell me a white banker that will give me $500 for a business? And that was like a slap in the face. And that shocked him. He said, well, I think this guy would. And even that guy said, well, I need some collateral. So he went to mama. Because that's what he did. He went to mama. And mama just had bought some brand new furniture. And she had to put up her furniture so that he could build that multi-million dollar empire. At one time, Johnson Publications was the wealthiest business, black business in America, worth many tens of millions back in the day, okay? And again, it wasn't because he did it by himself. He had help, and his community supported that. There was a time in black America, you go into a black folks' house, on the table was an Ebony and a Jet.
Right.
That was our pride.
Yeah.
Now, I want to tell you a quick story about another young man. You might have heard of, some of y'all might have heard of him. His name was Barry Gordy from Detroit. Okay? He wanted to start a record company. He had no money. He went to his family. His family was a group of business people. They had their own family credit union right inside their family. And he had to make a proposal, and they had to vote on him. But at least in his family, they used corporate economics to fund Motown. Motown that gave us the Temptations, that gave us the Four Tops, that gave us Diana Ross and the Supremes, that gave us Michael Jackson and Jackson 5. But it started with corporate economics. He didn't do it by himself. He had help. You understand what I'm saying? When we talk about corporate economics, it works. Let me explain to you how and why it works. You know, we see that it's something that we've been doing forever. You know, we've heard about the success and ultimately the tragedy of the Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
How they had a community that had hundreds of businesses. And the fact of the matter is, because they were wealthier than the surrounding white community, then the whites destroyed that community in 1921. But here is something that we want to understand. They were able to build that community because of cooperative economics. Similarly, in Durham, North Carolina, back in the early 1800s, they started building businesses, and that thriving community still exists today. One of the wealthiest communities ever. But I want to say, I guess one of the things that is important for us to know is that entrepreneurship. And cooperative economics is part of our history. It's not anything new. Way back in the 1700s, we have to look at Richard Allen. Yes, when Richard Allen, back in 1778, actually started collectively with the community, the African American Episcopal Church. when on one Sunday, when they went to kneel at the altar, the white people didn't want them to kneel. And they started that. And from that church, they actually built other institutions, other companies. And even Allen University, named after him, down in South Carolina. And so the fact of the matter is that we got a lot of work to do, y'all, when it comes to owning, when it comes to having businesses, and when it comes to cooperative economics. I just want you to know that I want to encourage you to do that. Take your dream off the shelf, no matter what it is, and go after it. And I want you to know that H.D. Horton and Associates is here to help you. Thank you. Yeah.
Y'all, please give it up for Professor Horton.